Engaging. Thorough. Cutting edge with essential information. Unbiased and unfiltered. When it comes to the issues in your community, WZND is here. With detailed investigative pieces from the award-winning WZND news team, WZND's Bird's Eye View gives you in-depth information on the issues you need to know about. Recognized for excellence in long-form news by the Illinois Broadcasters Association, College Broadcasters Incorporated, and the Society of Professional Journalists, the Bird's Eye View starts now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Hello and welcome to the March edition of Bird's Eye View. Today we're taking a deep dive into underrepresentation in the workforce and beyond. We'll talk about affirmative action, women in law, STEM and media, men in early education and nursing, and the queer community in religious spaces. I'm your Bird's Eye View producer, Colleen Holden.
I'm your co-host, Gavin Broderick.
And I'm your other co-host, Blake Borgart.
How are you guys doing today?
I am doing great. I'm so excited to dive into this topic that really seems to be mentioned in passing rather than actually being talked about.
You know, after listening to all of these pieces before the show, I'm extremely excited to get into this month's episode and share what we've got with the world.
Glad to hear it. We have a great show coming up shortly, but before we begin, we need to take a quick break. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
The Bird's Eye View continues now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back to Bird's Eye View. This month's topic is underrepresented groups in the workplace and beyond.
Affirmative action is one of the driving factors behind diversity, equity, and inclusion for minorities across the country. Lexi Magalu has the inside look into how ISU uses affirmative action when recruiting students.
According to ABC, there are 101 accredited HBCUs or historically black colleges and universities across 19 states and territories in the U.S. HBCUs serve people of color, but primarily black people, to provide a welcoming and diverse campus. They started to pop up in the 1800s when black people were not allowed to attend college otherwise. With ISU being a PWI or a predominantly white institution, there is a gap in terms of diversity within the recruitment and admittance process. Jeff Mavros from ISU Admissions explains the process of recruiting students while simultaneously ensuring that everyone has the same opportunity for enrollment and success within the university.
We're very active in recruitment of students from underserved populations. You know, we can't necessarily treat students in a protected class, so like based on race, differently than we do anyone else. But we certainly can do more to recruit them in a more targeted way. And so we'll do a workshop where we walk students through an application, knowing that the great majority of students in the room are first generation students, and we'll kind of step them through our application process.
There is a misconception that admissions offices across the country work to diversify PWI campuses by hitting a quota on the amount of minority students enrolled. Mavros explains the recruitment process working with the underrepresented at ISU.
We try to recruit students to the university that might come from traditionally underrepresented student populations in higher ed. When it comes to the actual admission process, we don't treat students any differently based on race.
While ISU Admissions aims to provide a diverse campus where students have more opportunities, allowing students who have different backgrounds gives way for enhancement of their college experience.
We have seen in recent years even more success in the way of enrolling students who are non-white and diversifying our class in that way. But we're also always looking to diversify our class geographically, by socioeconomic status, lots of different ways that we're trying to balance out the student body. So there's a lot of effort in that because I think what we're trying to do is enrich the student experience, and that's the way we try to do it.
Despite setbacks that have hurdled people of color from attending PWIs in the past, ISU Admissions is working to change the narrative and provide a space for every student to feel welcome on campus. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Lexi Mugalu.
Something I found really interesting in this piece was the history of affirmative action and HBCUs, as well as the clarifying information from Jeff Mavros.
I think the most important part about this piece was hearing how admissions staff here at ISU do not give preferential treatment to minorities in order to hit a quote-unquote quota. That is an extremely common misconception that I've heard many times during attending here at ISU.
One of the most historically underrepresented groups in the workforce is women. There are countless male-dominated fields that women have to fight tooth and nail to make their way into, starting with the courtroom. Ben Howell from the news team has more.
According to the American Bar Association, 38% of attorneys in the United States are women, a 5% increase from 10 years ago. This gradual change in the dynamics of the courtroom can be seen here in Bloomington Normal. The first female state's attorney of McLean County, Erica Reynolds, spoke on what qualities she believes should be considered about a job candidate.
Certainly something that's always come from the perspective of give me the job because I'm the best candidate to have the job because I have worked my tail off to get where I'm at and I've done what is necessary to put myself in the best position to be successful and not simply because I'm a woman.
Women walk into a courtroom with expectations already made of them. One of the most common among many professions is that women are too emotional. Many studies, including one from the University of Michigan, have found no evidence of this being true. However, Reynolds talks about this prejudiced belief held inside courtrooms.
With a woman, you have the added factor of people assume that if you are getting passionate or vocal about your position, that it's more of a negative connotation than if a man gets a little bit more aggressive about things.
The COVID-19 pandemic changed the lives of many people. However, women in the workforce were uniquely affected as schools were shut down and children came home. In the legal field, mothers were expected to pause their careers, while the same was not expected of fathers. Reynolds observed this during the pandemic and speaks on how that damaged their careers.
Timing is everything. And so if you're not actively participating within the building, you may lose out on opportunities that would have presented themselves had you just been physically here and not trying to work from home and juggle your kids.
Even before the pandemic, mothers faced a unique discrimination to their male peers. Senior legal studies major at Illinois State University, Haley Wilmoth, touches on how discrimination against women in the field changes after children, a common topic for her as the president of the Ladies in Politics Club.
Women in the field are discriminated against a lot when they become mothers. Female attorneys get turned down for promotions a lot because they're mothers, and male attorneys can stay after work, after hours, where women have to take care of their children.
With the majority of law students being women, students like Wilmoth find that the dynamic of the courtroom is changing as more women break into the field. Wilmoth spoke on what it meant to her to see other women in her classes and in her field.
I would say 75 to 80% of the students in my introduction to paralegal studies class were female, which really pushed me to end up changing my major to legal studies and political science. My main worry with entering as those majors were that it was going to be a primarily male-dominated field and that as a woman, I wouldn't be as accepted, but I quickly realized that that is changing.
Despite these setbacks, we live in a time of the first female vice president and the most diverse Congress in the history of our country. Women are underrepresented in law, but that is well on its way to change. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Ben Howell.
It was really shocking to hear just how far the disparity between men and women in law goes.
As an outsider looking into the field of law, I never would have anticipated that mothers in the law field would be expected to stay at home and take care of their children as opposed to the fathers. I think that it shows that while we still have come a long way with women in the courtroom, microaggressions and gender roles that still need to be broken are very prevalent.
There's still plenty more to talk about today. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
The Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND. If you're just now tuning in, this month's focus is on underrepresentation.
There are many reasons why women are underrepresented in so many fields, but one of the biggest is a lack of support for women going into intelligence-driven fields like science or math. Kelly Sugimoto from the news team has more.
In honor of Women's History Month, it's important to look at the role that women play everywhere. In this case, it's equally as important to look at the roles in which they don't. It's no secret that science, technology, engineering, and math majors, more widely recognized as STEM, is a male-dominated area of study. Dr. Fission Ackman is a math professor at Illinois State University. She said that in her 19 years of teaching at ISU, she hasn't noticed a change in the number of women majoring in math.
I think it's typical for women to be expected to be in traditional roles like teaching and nurturing, nursing. I mean, it's quite possible to do teaching at a much higher level, like I am doing.
Ackman earned her bachelor's and master's degrees in Turkey. She then traveled to the States to earn her PhD at Yale University. As Ackman studied in America for the first time, she began to notice differences in how women thought of their own academic abilities.
It's only after I came back to the States for my PhD, I started sort of feeling there was something against women. As an example, I went to an Ivy League school for my PhD, and one of my fellow PhD students said openly, "Oh, everybody knows women are not as good mathematicians as men."
And as Ackman earned her position as a tenured professor at ISU, she started to notice the way women faculty were treated differently by male peers. In fact, several students were pulled from Ackman's class based on complaints, an issue that was taken all the way to the chair of the department, all happening behind her back.
Whenever this sort of thing happens, and I hear about this a lot, it's 100% happening to female faculty and perhaps persons of color. The way that people feel against female faculty, we always have to prove ourselves. We have to do things right. And if people complain about us, it's our fault. That has come to ridiculous levels, at least at this university.
Ackman said that being raised in a different culture has given her a different perspective of women in the workforce, and more specifically, women in STEM. In fact, when Ackman's mom moved to the States working as a physician, she said that it seemed like the only two suitable jobs for women were teaching and nursing. Because of growing up outside of the country, Ackman said that she is sure of her capabilities in being a math professor. However, women in America who are looking to earn a higher education in the math field will experience outside social pressures and self-doubt. Ackman shared some of her thoughts on not only what being a woman in math means to her, but what being a woman should really mean to everyone.
I don't want to concentrate on the bad parts. I think being female gives you this extra strength, this power to sympathize with other people. It's rarely women who start wars. Actually, use those strengths. I mean, nurture yourself, nurture other people. Don't concentrate on the negative parts. We have a superpower. Just don't tell everybody about it, but use it.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Kaylee Sugimoto.
That piece is just so great in so many ways. Something that I found scary, though, was the pressure female faculty experience here at ISU.
Since the founding of Title IX in 1972, women's participation in various sports has increased by over 48,000%. But despite this leap in women's participation and interest in sport, they still are underrepresented in the jobs that make up professional sports organizations. WZND's Mikey Fornelli has more.
2022 is now in the rearview, and with it, the half-century celebration of Title IX. While year 50 was full of the voices of female athletes and coaches, we now enter year 51, and with it, we turn our attention to one of society's most influential and yet underrepresented groups. Women in sports media. From journalism professors to broadcasters to media relations executives, the world of sports would simply not turn without many incredible women, many of which are Illinois State alums. Many of them, like Katie Wingy, have taken their personal athletics experience into their career.
Even though I played basketball at a very high level, I never played in the NBA, right? So I will never have that experience. I will never be able to bring that color to broadcast. But I think understanding that my voice still matters and the stories that I tell are still worthy of being told.
Wingy remains humble, but her voice as a reporter and analyst not only matters, but it's heard daily by hundreds of thousands who watch Denver Nuggets broadcast.
There are days where it's really hard. Like, there are days where I absolutely, like, deal with imposter syndrome and don't think that, like, there's a place for me here. But because of so many women that have come before me and have fought the battles that I've fought, even more difficult battles, to make sure that, you know, we as women know we have a seat at these tables. When I think about those experiences and what those women have been through, it makes it easier for me to fight that same fight.
Another alum, Beth Essler, shared a similar sentiment with another benefit of networking in this industry.
Network like crazy right now. These jobs are all about who you know, and they're so limited, right? Like you want to specifically go into basketball, like there's only 30 teams, and each team has about like three of us, so you guys do the math.
But how did Essler go from writing about Illinois State tennis as a media intern to the director of basketball communications for the Chicago Bulls, never just wishing for things to happen?
Bust your ass. Like, nothing is going to be given to you. You have to work for everything. You've got to make a name for yourself. Just book yourself crazy with opportunities.
In two very different but important roles with their respective NBA franchises, Esler and Wingy have both had to deal with their fair share of adversity. When relied on daily, Esler says there's always been people who have doubted her.
It can be somebody who you think doesn't respect women or thinks that they're always right and doesn't take direction well. That's really hard when you're a female and you're relied on.
Beyond Illinois State, Canadian author, speaker, teacher, and sports journalist Shireen Ahmed says destroying these stereotypes starts in education.
I bring my research into it, but you know, that course is structured to be able to help aspiring sports media students to go forward. So my job is to like give them the tools, but there's a way to do that with acknowledging wider systems. Sometimes you see the light bulb go on and they're like, wow, we never even thought of that. And I'm like, of course, because you have probably never been taught by someone like me. And there's a lot of people that can offer you a different perspective like me, but that's why it's important to have those people in sports journalism.
Through it all, these women have no shortage of experience, and with it, tons of wisdom as the industry changes and grows.
Be yourself. Always represent yourself better than what might be going on, like in here or here. Stay present in the moment. Stand tall. Stand proud. Be confident in your ability and yourself.
Katie Wingy stays positive that society is set for a shift.
Some days are hard, but it's very worthwhile to know that hopefully someday women will come into, you know, whether it's covering a male sport or even just in general in a male-dominated industry, that they'll come into that type of environment and know with certainty that they have a place there. And I'm learning that every single day and taking pride in the unique characteristics and skills that I bring to the table in what I do.
For WZND and the Bird's Eye View team, I'm Mikey Fornelli.
As a woman in the media-driven field myself, it's really uplifting to see that we, in fact, can make our way into these positions, even if we have to work a little harder than the men in our field.
And Mikey also requested a specific shout-out for WZND's Kaylee Sugimoto for her work with interviewing Shireen Ahmed for this piece. So, shout-out to Kaylee.
We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND.
More Bird's Eye View is here now, only on 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bird's Eye View on 103.3 WZND. If you're just now tuning in, this month's focus is underrepresentation. So far, we've talked about affirmative action and women in the courtroom, STEM, and sports media.
We've talked about many groups that women are historically left out of, but the question remains, are there any groups that men are underrepresented in? A study by the University of Michigan shows that boys are almost 50% more likely to drop out of primary schools than girls. Only 25% of primary school teachers are men. That number drops below 20% when you look at elementary schools. Alan Bates is the director of the School of Teaching and Learning at ISU. He says that less than 5% of elementary education majors at ISU are men. He explains why men might be discouraged from teaching younger ages.
A lot of it is the perception of what elementary or early childhood teachers may need to do. You know, maybe it's seen as less teaching and more, you know, caring for the children and doing things, those types of things that maybe men just don't feel that they want to do.
Bates talks about the need for diverse classrooms from the perspective of an administrator.
Yeah, I mean, that's typically, you know, there is research, same thing with students of diverse backgrounds, that they tend to do better with teachers that look like them.
In a similar position to male teachers is male nurses. Only 9% of nurses are men. Eric Richmond is a nursing student at the Mennonite School of Nursing. He found his love for treating people in the Boy Scouts. He says that he had to find his passion for nursing on his own.
I really just had a great time learning about, you know, how to treat all different kinds of injuries, wounds, all like the basic medical first aid stuff that you would experience as a Boy Scout. Learning that really, I wouldn't say inspired, but it really made me start thinking about healthcare.
Richmond went on to say that his friends who were women were suggested to be nurses, but not him.
They would just strongly suggest like business, marketing, accounting, other things, like, I mean, obviously doctorates as well, but they really never just mentioned nursing. But that was a big thing. I remember a lot of my friends who were girls said, hey, you should be a nurse. Hey, you should be a nurse.
While it is clear that there is a lack of women in STEM, in sports media, and the courtroom, that does not mean that men aren't also underrepresented in other fields. If our society wants to become more equal, then we must first acknowledge underrepresentation in all workplaces, regardless of gender identity. For Bird's Eye View, I'm Gavin Broderick. I want to make clear that this piece isn't meant to undermine or make the struggles of women seem lesser. This piece was made simply to point out the inconsistencies throughout the workforce.
We've talked a lot about the many different careers with underrepresented groups, but underrepresentation doesn't end in the workforce. The queer community is underrepresented in Christian organizations stemming from the church's invalidations of the community's existence. Age-old traditions can be slow to change, even in an ever-changing society. As woke narratives rise, acceptance can tend to fall in spaces where foundational principles are final and contrary to the held standards. The queer community is not only underrepresented by the church, but are often unaccepted by them, creating a point of contention between the two groups. Zach Alves, the lead pastor at Point of Change Church in Bloomington, had a lot to say about supporting equal inclusivity in his church body, as well as his take on this Goliath-sized issue.
As a congregation, are very diverse and just kind of the people that come there. And so we've got a little bit of everybody in the congregation, and very, very welcoming, very much. You're not going to meet a stranger once you walk in.
The practice of Christianity hinges on several broad themes of the Bible, the most common being emulating the unconditional love of God in the way you treat others.
We want to make sure that we are trying to love well. And we know that we don't get it right all the time, but we really want to strive for that.
This unconditional love becomes conditional when it is not expressed to someone because of their sexuality. The transgressions committed against the queer community by the church in place of this unconditional love contradicts the foundations of Christianity itself.
You know, if I'm just going to be refreshingly honest, it's unacceptable. Because doing the things that Jesus did and loving well, then Jesus also was a person of peace, and he called us to be peacemakers and peacekeepers and to love and always seek out that peace and seek out reconciliation and to love people well.
According to Alves, Point of Change is driven by the idea of holding a high regard for others instead of the historically practiced otherization of people who don't quite fit the church's mold.
No matter who walks in those doors, we can cultivate a high regard for other people, whether they walk in these doors and they're face-to-face with us here, or we're sitting at lunch with them, or we rub shoulders with them at work or somewhere like that. We can hold people in a high regard. We can see value in them and treat them the way that Jesus would have treated every person that he came in contact with.
It's hard to remedy such a long history of hurt and underrepresentation, but there are strides being taken to reconcile.
But it really starts with we've got to be people of, you know, we've got to seek peace and reconciliation, and there has to be some humility on the side of the church and Christian people when it comes to owning and knowing that there is pain. And so when there's been pain and there's been scars and things like that, we have to know that that's there, and then we have to do everything we can to be generous with our words. We have to love well, and we have to hold people in a high regard. It's very accurate. It's very unfortunate, and we've got to do better.
For Bird's Eye View, I'm Colleen Holden.
It was incredibly refreshing to hear Pastor Alves' opinions on how to reconcile with how the church has treated members of the queer community in the past. I feel that the church can be notorious for its inability to reflect pleasant times, but people like Pastor Alves are clearly looking to change this narrative.
I agree. I think that it's time for the church to finally start to reform and acknowledge some of their wrongdoings.
And that wraps up this month's edition of Bird's Eye View. Today we talked about affirmative action, women in law, STEM and media, men in early education and nursing, and the queer community in religious spaces. If you missed any part of today's show, you can head over to WZND.com to listen to the full show right after this. Be sure to tune back in this April for more in-depth coverage on the issues that matter right here on Bird's Eye View.
That's it for this month's edition of the Bird's Eye View. To hear this and other past episodes of the show, find the Bird's Eye View podcast on WZND.com or in the iTunes podcast store. And as always, for up-to-the-minute award-winning local news, sports, and weather, stay tuned to 103.3 WZND Fused Radio.